This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We're going to begin a study in the Book of Ephesians. I hope you'll be interested enough in it to follow me carefully and be with us each time for the study, and that you will read through the Book of Ephesians and get hold of this wonderful book. It begins, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." This is the first of the epistles which Paul wrote from prison. He was taken to prison for his preaching, and while he was there, the Lord used him to give us several very wonderful epistles. Ephesians was written about the same time as Philemon and Colossians. It was written to the saints at Ephesus. Now, the word saint has been much misunderstood. It means simply those who are set apart to God. It does not mean those who have died and have been beatified. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is not a separate class of people, because all saints are expected to be faithful. In fact, the first three chapters of Ephesians tells us our position as saints, and the last three chapters tells us how to be faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is typical of Paul's salutations. The Spirit of God uses him to say this over and over. Grace and peace. Now, grace must precede peace. Grace means the kindness of God, undeserved, and it's because of God's great kindness and his love for us, undeserved, that we, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and because of what he's doing for us at the present time, have peace. And this comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he immediately launches into the doxology of verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." His heart seems so full with what the Spirit of God has been showing him that he just praises the Lord from the very beginning. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, God's position as God and as Father are brought out in the book of Ephesians quite plainly. There are two prayers in the book of Ephesians. The first one is addressed to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1, and the second one in chapter 3 is addressed to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, or as the Revised Version says, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Heavenly places is mentioned a number of times in this book, 5 times, in fact. And this gives us some idea of the theme of the book. Now, Paul was forbidden at first to preach the gospel in Asia, but later he visited briefly. Then finally he left Priscilla and Aquila there in Acts chapter 18. And then in Acts 20 we're told that he stayed at Ephesus for 3 years until all in Asia heard the word. The results were wonderful. These people at Ephesus burned all their heathen books. And later, when Paul called for the elders from Miletus to come to Miletus and meet him for the last time before he went to Rome, he gives them a great deal of encouragement and tells them what the Lord has done for them. Apparently, this was a very spiritual group of Christians. And you and I are going to have to be spiritually minded to appreciate the book of Ephesians. However, the book of Ephesians will tell us a great deal about the way of salvation. If you're not yet a Christian, it will tell you a great many simple truths as well as profound ones. John lived at this place. Peter preached there. John wrote his gospels and his epistles while he was at Ephesus. And then later, when he was taken out to the Isle of Patmos and wrote the book of the Revelation, one of the churches to whom he writes in the second and third chapters of the Revelation, in fact, the first church he writes to is Ephesus. But by that time, the Ephesians had gotten pretty far away from the truths that the Lord had given to them. Someone has called this the rich epistle of the riches of Christ. And God's riches are mentioned 6 times in the epistle. Now, I think in order to grasp this, we must remember that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. And in this first chapter of Ephesians, in verse 18, he prays to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that the eyes of our hearts might be opened. Or, as the Revised Version says, the eyes of our hearts. We say eyes of our understanding in the King James Version. That is, literally, God must open your heart to appreciate the truths that are given here. Now, Romans is a very simple book. Romans stresses the gospel. Corinthians stresses sanctification. Galatians tells us about law and grace and shows us that God's authority is given. But Ephesians stresses God's will, shows us the plans of God. When we say the will of God, we don't mean his will for our individual life, but all of God's plans. Grace and peace, then, is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's consider these wonderful blessings that the Lord has given to us. We're told that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, this says he has blessed us, so this is a present possession. It's our business to possess the land. Ephesians is sort of like Joshua in the Old Testament. The children of Israel were led in to possess the land of Canaan when they crossed over the Jordan. Now, Canaan isn't heaven. Canaan is the possession of heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings in the heavenly. Our blessings are spiritual. They're not temporal. The Lord never promised Christians that they would always have plenty of this and that of this world, but rather that they would enjoy these spiritual blessings. Mr. A.C. Gabelein, who was a very fine teacher of the early part of this century, has written a book on Ephesians in which he lists 9 spiritual blessings. 3 coming from each one of the Trinity. And each one of these ends in a note of praise. So this sort of divides it up in a nice way to remember it. The first 3, verses 4, 5, and 6, tells us the blessings that we have through the Father. Let's look at them briefly. Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God has chosen us. This is a wonderful thing, to be wanted. I don't know why God chose me. Certainly not for any good in me. Certainly not because I was so irresistible and lovely. But seeing me as a sinner, loving me, he chose me even before the foundation of the world. Now he chose me not for heaven, but that I should be holy and without blame before him in love. I make the choice for heaven. But God's sovereign elective choice is for the place of blessing, to be holy and without blame before him in love. And this is what God is going to do for everyone who accepts his Son. Then verse 5 says, he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children, which means literally, the placing as full-grown sons. God wants us to enjoy fellowship with himself, not as little children, but as full-grown sons. He wants us to enjoy all that it means to be related to him, and enjoying his company, and understanding his ways. So he has predestinated us to this. This means that not that he has chosen some people to be saved and some to be lost. That's never taught in the Bible. But predestinated has to do with our destiny. In other words, he says, I want all of my children to be exactly like the Lord Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his will. And verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved. And Beloved is capitalized, or should be. That is, he's talking about his own Son. The Lord Jesus is his Beloved One, and he wants us to be like him because he has made us accepted in him. Now, accepted in the Beloved tells us that we have a place of relationship with the Father and a place of acceptance in his own Son, that God looks upon us as he looks upon his own Son. Well, this is by grace. This is nothing, no credit to us at all, nothing that we have done. But God has made us accepted in the Beloved. Well, this means that I have the same right to pray that the Lord Jesus has. I pray in his name. This means that I'm going to share his throne. This means that I'm going to share his riches. For I'm a child of God and an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So in the Lord Jesus we have this great blessing of redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, redemption means that we are brought back to God and bought out of the market, never to be resold, and that we are liberated because he paid the price for us. We have redemption. We are redeemed from sin. We are redeemed from the evil world. We are redeemed from an empty way of living. And eventually, even our bodies are going to be redeemed. And we have it through his blood. Now, there is no other way. Had not the Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross, there would be no redemption for us. We could never have our sins forgiven simply because we pray to have them forgiven or because we do enough good things that God could balance it off. The scripture always teaches redemption is through his blood, through his sacrificial death, and of course his resurrection. And we have this according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We did not deserve it, but God in his great kindness has given his Son to be our Savior. The Lord help you to appreciate these things. If you are a Christian, you ought to understand and enjoy more than you have what it means to be given such a high place of fellowship with God through his Son. And if not, you should trust the Savior right away. Our Father, we pray to bless thy word to all who have heard it just now. We ask for salvation for those who are not saved, and we pray that thou wilt strengthen and help thy dear children. For we pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.